The Europe Report with Kanan Lipschitz.
Are you well this afternoon, Kanan?
Very well, thank you. How are things in South Africa?
Things in South Africa are very good, bar a little bit of electricity issues, but other than that, we are all good. And I'm really fascinated that out of all the stories you could have picked to start today's show with, you chose the fact that France opens the first museum dedicated to the Dreyfus Affair. And why that is just so coincidentally weird and wacky is that I've had a story that I've wanted to talk to for the past possibly week or so about the BBC, Kanan, who referred to Dreyfus, I think, as a notorious spy. I mean, where the BBC is going with that, I don't know, but maybe it really is timely that there is, in fact, a museum dedicated to Dreyfus.
Yes, we're seeing the revisionist wave that has affected so many historical issues connected to the Jewish people, touching also this emblematic, symbolic milestone of modern anti-Semitism. We're seeing it in this fuzzy headline, promotional headline of the BBC. We're seeing this also coming up in France itself, where Éric Zemmour, a far-right potential candidate for the presidency in the March elections, it surfaced that in 2020 he said that maybe there is evidence that the prosecution of Dreyfus wasn't anti-Semitic after all. By the way, Zemmour is Jewish, and we should maybe devote talk to him in the coming weeks.
Wow.
But this revisionism is focusing back on the Dreyfus Affair very briefly in 1896. A French army captain who's Jewish gets locked up and subsequently convicted twice by the courts of spying on France for Germany. Anti-Semitic caricatures accompany the coverage of this affair in the mainstream Jewish press. Eventually, there was an outcry led by Émile Zola, a famous author. He wrote the well-known J'accuse manifesto, and eventually, after 8 years, and four of which Dreyfus was jailed in French Guiana, he was acquitted, released, exonerated. But it was a watershed event for French Jewry, because it came just a few years after the emancipation led by Crémieux, that this great promise of French Jews finally being able to partake in La République rescinded through this anti-Semitic show trial. And Theodore Herzl was covering the affair at the time. He was a journalist, and it was a seminal event, a very important event in turning him from a assimilationist to a Zionist. So recognizing the importance of this milestone in French and Jewish history, President Macron yesterday opened the first museum for the Dreyfus Affair, L'Affaire Dreyfus, in Yvelines, near Paris. It's in, kind of appropriately, in the house Zola, in the Zola house, which is a cultural institution devoted to Émile Zola. So finally, these two comrades are united and commemorated together.
Who's financing this museum, Kanan?
Most of the authorities. This is going to be local government and national government. This is being pitched, this is being envisioned as a place where young high school students and even school students are going to be educated about xenophobia, basically.
All right, and talking about education, this is just spine-chilling, this next story. Swedish agency suggests an exercise in which students argue, or should argue, that the Holocaust didn't happen.
Yes, this is a story about the road of good intentions, where good intentions lead. So Sweden's the National Agency for Education, it decided to inoculate people against fake news, basically. So how are they going to do that? They're going to task students, school students, with writing essays proving that the Holocaust didn't happen, and they need to provide footnotes from the internet. There was also, it's not only about the Holocaust, it's also about the moon landing. They need to prove that the moon landing was fake. I'll just quote from the assignment of the Sweden National Agency for Education. This is a suggested exercise for teachers, saying, group one must find at least three arguments for the case that the Holocaust never happened, using facts and information from the internet. They can also ask others what they believe and why. So this is obviously well-intentioned. This is supposed to show the opposite, but and we don't know how many students are actually tasked with doing this. One would believe that many, since this has been printed years ago, and Sweden is a pretty hierarchical society. So if the Ministry of Education tells teachers to do something, you can bet that many of them have done it, maybe without thinking too much about it. So obviously, once you push students, actively push students down this path of Holocaust denial online, you risk basically shoving them down a rabbit hole that, especially in Sweden, that can very fast lead to producing Holocaust deniers.
Conan, in the 1 minute that's left, I'm going to ask you something that we didn't say we'd talk about, but it's just really interesting to me. The Allgemeine reporting that three attackers apparently in Berlin beat a man unconscious after he refused to shout "Free Palestine." I've read the article. I've read the article more than once. Nowhere do they mention if the guy was Jewish or not. Not that it's all that significant, but it is interesting if in fact he wasn't. Do you know anything about this particular incident?
No, I'm looking into it right now, but I can tell you from my experience, and I've covered Europe for 12 years now, specifically that subject. This, we've seen it before, for example, in Antwerp, where people will film themselves walking around and confronting Jews and speaking about the conflict. And in those exchanges, often you'll hear a demand to say that the occupation is bad or that Palestine must be free. So the situation in itself does not seem that far-fetched. And usually the people who are being approached are recognizably Jewish. We don't know this yet. This incident I'm talking about in Antwerp happened just in January. Two brothers, Adham and Amjad Salah, were filming themselves skating across the streets of Antwerp. And it also recalls this kind of demand for assertion that we saw during some of the Black Lives events in the United States, where people are being cornered into declaring their allegiance for the cause. So the behavioral pattern here is not so difficult to recognize, but we don't know exactly the specifics of this subject, and we need to be extra careful with all those doubts circulating about some reports which we've covered last week.
Sure, absolutely. Conan, as always, thank you so very much.
Thanks.